Juan may not find his Mrs. Right, but you'll always find the best price on everything at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on all the things you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping all year long at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Happy New Year, and welcome to our first podcast here in 2014. And we're dinging in the new year, and it's not just the new year, it's also the new month, and the month happens to be Wanuary, and that is what we are calling this month here as we get ready for a new season of The Bachelor. And here is our Bachelor Chief Correspondent. Here he is, it's Terry Taronis. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. Happy New Year to you as well.
Yes, thank you very much. And so now we are not going to podcast. We podcasted the Bachelorette season with Emily. About, I think that was during 2011. We're not going to podcast this season, but I know a lot of people are excited for Wanuary. And so Terry is going to be blogging about it all season long. And since the premiere is Sunday night, it's a very exciting season. Figured we would have Terry on and talk us through meeting the women who are going to be vying for Juan's heart here on The Bachelor. What number season of this? Do we even know with The Bachelor?
Honestly, I can't keep track. It's a little easier to do for The Bachelorette. Desi last season was number 9. With The Bachelor, though, it's a little harder for me to keep track just because they, go back and forth nowadays between the men and the women being The Bachelor. So I've lost count at this point.
Yeah. Well, Terry, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I've had a chance to look at the bios and examine them based purely on whatever their questions they've been asked. I've had a chance to look at the screener for the premiere that's coming up. It's a 2-part premiere on Sunday, coming up this Sunday and Monday. So I think ABC's pretty excited about having Juan start off Wanuary with a bang.
Yes, and I believe this is Bachelor 18, according to Epguides. I'm not sure if they count the Bachelorette as part of this, but I think it's the Bachelor 18.
That would sound about right. I've been watching this show for since it began, actually, so it's that's probably about right.
Okay, and just to give people a little insight into you and why you care for this show. Now, you are not the typical fan of The Bachelor, right?
No, I don't really fit their demographic. I'm not a young single woman. I'm a middle-aged man, but a married middle-aged man at that, and it's, to me, The Bachelor is one of the best comedies on TV, and the good thing about the show is they kind of know they're in on the joke. ABC's in on the joke, so they're willing to, amp it up and kind of tease, make fun of themselves a little bit. So that's a good thing. But it's just really, it's like Fast and Furious movies. It's guilty pleasure viewing. It's not meant to be taken seriously. And as soon as the season is over, you totally forget about it. It's cotton candy TV. So it's just a fun, goofy thing to watch. And if you have a spouse or a girlfriend, from a guy's perspective, it's fun to watch from them because they get a kick out of it. And it's something you guys, people can watch together.
And so why are we so particularly excited about Juan and Wanuary?
Well, we're excited about Wanuary. What are we going to do in February starts? February? Maybe, is that what we could call February?
No, I'm in on this. I love Wanuary, as I'm sure you guys have already guessed that I've said it 19 times so far in the 3 minutes that this podcast has been on. I am claiming February for Survivor, that Survivor is going to be the premiere of Survivor 28 with the brains, beauty, and the brawn, and I'm going to be spelling February with 3 B's. It's going to be February. I think I spelled that correctly. So, yes, I'm claiming February with 3 B's for Survivor.
Okay, I guess Juan just better enjoy his spotlight for this month, and Survivor is going to take over after that.
Yes. Now, will this be a spoiler-free discussion of the 27 women vying for Juan's attention?
Yes, this will be spoiler free. I wasn't able to see the final rose ceremony. I do know who gets the first impression rose, and we're going to leave that out too. But it is one of the people that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. Now, how are we going to refer to him? Is it Juan? Is it Juan Paul? Is it, or Juan Pablo? JP? How would you want to pronounce his name for today?
Well, Juan Pablo is just too many syllables, so I prefer to call him JP or John Paul, because sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed this, but his accent kind of fluctuates. Sometimes he sounds, you know, like Ricardo Montalban, or, you know, the guy who does the voice for Puss in Boots in Shrek. And
yeah.
So other times his accent goes to some kind of odd American accent, like he's got a frog in his throat. So I'm just going to call him John Paul or JP, usually JP most of the time.
Okay. So why are these 27 women, besides the fact that he is the bachelor, what would be so great about being Mrs. JP?
Well, he has the single dad thing going for him. A lot of women view him as kind of, you know, find that attractive, actually.
Okay. Sure.
And also, he has an accent, and women love a guy with a Spanish accent.
Yeah, and so and Juan, he's like I'm looking at his picture. He's a stud here, the JP?
No, I don't think John Paul's that really good looking. Actually, I've asked a couple of people who know that I write for you and cover The Bachelor. They're like, he's just okay, but the accent is kind of nice. And the women I talked to mentioned him being a single dad. They just find that somewhat appealing, which is kind of surprising. I would think, well, a woman wouldn't be too interested because he has baggage. But they see that as a guy who has a sensitive side to him. And I think the accent has more to do with it. We've definitely had better looking bachelors than Juan Pablo, but the accent and the sensitivity seem to be attractive to women.
Is he a wealthy man?
I seriously doubt it. He played minor league professional soccer, and now he is a sports and entertainment consultant. I'm not really sure what that means. You know, it could mean a number of different things. He could be a professional gambler for all I know, but I don't think he's loaded like we've had in the past. We've had some, for example, Sean, the last bachelor,
right.
He owned his own company. But I don't think JP's swimming in doubloons.
And where is JP's baby mama? Is she divorced? Is she departed? Where is she?
No, she's, I don't think she's deceased. They had a relationship, Juan Pablo and his previous, I don't think they ever married. They were together for a couple of years. They had a daughter who's 4 years old now. Her name is Camilla. They show her on the pilot, on the premiere episode. She's very adorable, as you would expect, and very cute, with a little Spanish accent, call her dead puppy and all that stuff. So he has a pretty good connection with her, it seems. But I don't think the moms in the picture just basically didn't work out. And that was, I think, from what I could tell, about 2 years ago.
But he has full custody of the kid?
That part I don't really know. I do know from some of the previews I've seen that she does come out to Los Angeles. The daughter does come out to Los Angeles, and his parents are kind of watching her while he's off, you know, going on jets and hanging out with 25 women in bikinis and drinking champagne. So I know she's around, but I don't know if he has full custody or if he has joint or whatever.
Because this may not be, you know, the great situation that you make it out to be. There could be some baby mama drama on the horizon for whoever is the lucky winner of The Bachelor.
That would be great. I'd like to see that, actually. The mom coming in saying, wait a minute, what's my daughter being put on TV for?
And who's this whore really that you brought in from The Bachelor, this skank? You're going to let my kid be around some reality TV floozy?
Yes, that would be, add some drama. That would be great. But who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky.
Okay, so, and maybe Juan will too. So let's see, where do you want to start? You want to talk more about Juan and tell us how he became The Bachelor?
Well, Juan was on the last season of The Bachelorette, where Desi Hartsock, who got dumped previous to the finale, the episode before the finale, by the guy called Bad Hair Brooks. He just kind of chickened out. He was like, I'm not really feeling this. And he took off. She was heartbroken. And in the season finale, she was left with two guys, Drew and Chris. And she dumped Drew pretty quickly and started talking herself into Chris. And now she chose Chris at the end. And, you know, it's edited very well. It's a very well edited show. And it made it look like she was pretty happy with her selection. But I'm sure for her, Brooks is the guy who got away. But we'll be looking for, or at least I'll be looking for some news about their breakup online and seeing if I get any news. But so Juan Pablo was on Desi's season, but he wasn't particularly, he didn't get a lot of camera time. He was just kind of the fun, loving, easygoing Euro type guy, although he's from Venezuela, not Europe. He didn't get any camera time really. And he was eliminated about halfway through the show, but people just found him really interesting. He'd mispronounce things and, have his little accent and be fun, have fun with the guys. But he, compared to a lot of the other bachelors who were left over, who could have been a candidate to be the bachelor for this season, he was the most appealing. And I think they really made a good choice.
Okay, good. Well, we're excited to see what Juan has up his sleeve. So let's see. Anything else about Juan, about his story or anything like that? You want to get to some of these babes that Juan will be taking a few dates with?
Now, Juan's story is pretty straightforward. We know about the kid. He's actually born in Ithaca, New York, which I found interesting. I just thought he was from Venezuela. He was born in Ithaca, moved to Venezuela, was raised there. And now he lives in Miami, where he spends his time and where his daughter lives as well. So I'm sure we'll see more of his family and his background. He's very, very savvy with the camera. He knows when it's around, and that's a good thing. But he also is very fun-loving and charismatic, and I think he's a pretty good choice. Some of the other guys we've had before can be a little bit stiff, or like Jake Pavelka, who was the airline pilot who picked Vienna as his final choice, who was very fake and phony. Juan Pablo doesn't really have that kind of air to him. He just seems pretty straightforward and fun-loving. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun with him.
Now, it seems like they're making a big fuss over that there's 27 women to start with. Is this an unusually high number of contestants for The Bachelor to choose from?
It's only a couple more than usual. Typically, they have 25. I'm not really sure why they went with 27. There was no clue in the premiere for why he had two more than normal. Maybe they just had some really interesting characters, and there was a couple that they just couldn't leave out.
Okay.
I've talked about this before, but I went to a casting call for The Bachelor in this past summer.
I don't think we've talked about this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please, to go on. And what was this like?
I met the casting director, Lacey Cumberton. I had a chance to interview her, and the interview was posted up on Robin's website. You can go back and check that out. It's a two-part interview, and you kind of get to know a little bit about the casting process. But nobody, surprisingly, from that Denver casting made the show. Tierra, who was a previous in Sean's season, previous bachelor from Sean's season, and it was the villain that season. She was actually cast at a Denver casting call. But if you look at some pictures, there's actually a girl who I thought would be perfect for Juan Pablo, who didn't make the cut. She was a college soccer player, and I thought for sure she'd get in there. But if people who listen to this podcast are interested, there's other articles up that include the entire summation of Desi's season, and also some information about casting that are up on Robin's website.
Now, at the casting call, do they know Juan Pablo is going to be the bachelor? Like, do they go to the casting call like, oh my God, I'd be perfect for Juan Pablo? Or are they just like, hey, I'm really desperate. I'll go out with whoever you want me to go out with.
That's a great question. They actually did know who the bachelor was. The show ended
in
May. And they knew who the next, it ended in May, ended in September, sorry. But they had a clue who it was. The show was still airing at the time, but it was pretty obvious who that Juan Pablo was going to be it. Now, Lacey never, Miss Pemberton never confirmed with me that it was Juan Pablo, but everybody was figuring based on how he was portrayed on the show and that he was very popular, that he would probably be most likely be the next Bachelor.
Well, maybe did you get this woman's number that if it doesn't work out with JP and whoever he picks that he could go out with her?
I should have. I could maybe connect the two, but no, I did not. I did not. But if I ever get a chance to talk to JP, have a little conversation, and whoever he picks out turns to be a dud, I'll be sure to try and connect the two.
Did your wife have any issue with you going to a Bachelor open casting call?
Oh, no, no. I seriously doubt it. Most of these women are like 15 years younger than me. I don't think she's too particularly concerned. And it was in downtown Denver. She went and did some shopping, and I was having a good time talking to people. And actually, they were very hesitant to talk to me. It was, you know, there's somebody with the press. They don't want to, they're kind of closed-lipped, and some people just said, no, thanks, I don't really want to talk to you. Or they didn't want to give me their last name. They just, you know, told me their first name. So it was kind of, to be honest, it was kind of hard to find people to talk to.
Okay. That's why none of these people made the show, because if they were true reality TV superstars, they would have talked to anybody.
That's correct. You got to be out there. You got to, you know, put yourself out there and be open. But so I'd say half of them were probably, no, I don't want to talk to you. And then there are a few others that I actually got to talk to me. But I think, you know, what would it hurt?
Okay. Well, now you have selected 8, I believe, of the 27 that you think are the potential superstars that you want to sort of highlight here today, correct?
Yeah, they're either going to go far or they're going to be good TV viewing. I don't know how long any of them will last. And there's a couple that I think have a good shot at winning. But yeah, these are the ones that kind of just based on the premiere episode will probably get most people's attention.
Okay, well, let's go down your list. In no particular order?
We'll just go top down. That will probably make most sense.
Okay, but they're not listed like, here's my number one most interesting person. These are just 8 people in no particular order, right?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
All right, let's start with Renee here. Renee, and tell us about Renee, the 32-year-old real estate agent.
Yes, Renee is a.k.a. the MILF with abs you could wash clothes on. She's incredibly fit. She's 32. She's a single mom. She has an 8-year-old son named Ben, and that got her to connect with JP pretty quickly. They had a lot in common, but she's not one to mess around. In fact, she said something about that during the premiere episode is, you know, I'm a single mom. I don't really have time to play games. So that might be a little bit of a turnoff for her, but she's plays kind of the she's like a character of a sensitive, caring woman who likes chick flicks. So she's very much a girly girl, but she's incredibly athletic. She's a real estate agent who lives in Florida, but's from Martha's Vineyard. I think having a son will probably help her, give her an in, because she can relate to things with Juan Pablo and his wife. But how she'll do, it's tough to say. 32 might be a little bit old for Juan Pablo, who himself is 32. Mm-hmm. And blending a family can be pretty challenging. So who knows? That's a little bit tough, but I think she's definitely going to be an interesting character.
Now, this is one of your picks you think that JP might have a good vibe with. You think she's a contender?
I do think she's a contender. She has a chance. They have a lot in common with the single family. She's athletic. He's athletic. So I think, you know, depending on, you know, where it goes from that initial attraction, who knows where it'll go. But if they have enough in common, she can make it pretty far.
I think it's interesting. I'm following along on ABC.com and looking at the profiles. So they give you sort of a picture and they give you the name and then a couple of other pieces of essential information from what they feel like at ABC, the producers of The Bachelor. They give you age, they give you occupation, hometown, height. Then pets, favorite music, all-time favorite movies, and tattoos. Which, okay, sure. That's all critical information that you need to know about these people. And she has two mostly tattoos, according to ABC.com.
Yeah, they must be small. They showed her, they had a little profile on her. They showed her running along the beach. So I don't know where they are, but she doesn't like have the Battleship in Missouri on her back or anything like that.
I feel like they should tell you what they are. I mean, they've piqued my curiosity by telling us they have two tattoos, but they don't tell us a location or what shape they are.
Well, I've missed out on the handwriting sample that they gave. They did that with the last Bachelorette. Right? With all the bachelors, they had to, their bios were filled out by their own handwriting, and you can kind of tell a little bit more about them based on their handwriting. Unfortunately, these are all typed out for them. So
yeah,
that's too bad.
Well, actually, as I move over to our next person, Chelsea, the 24-year-old science educator, they actually have some different questions for her, which they do have tattoos, but they also have they've switched up the, maybe I don't know if she, maybe she doesn't have a favorite movie. She has, they give for her tattoos, none, which she has, but the favorite actress, favorite author, favorite snacks, and hot weather or cold weather. It seems like a very very specific question.
Some very deep probing questions to get to really know these girls.
Yeah, all right, tell us about Chelsea, the science educator.
Well, Lord help the children of Ohio, because she does not. She's more of the ditzy blonde type. She kind of wants to have fun. She's kind of goofy, and she'll appeal to Juan Pablo's playful side because he's pretty, you know, pretty easygoing.
Yeah.
But she's 24 years old, so she's really young. Doesn't really have much life experience. Juan Pablo's daughter's 4, and that means that Chelsea was probably 19 or 20 when his daughter was born. That's kind of pretty, she's pretty young. She skews really young. And she is super young. She's gorgeous. She's drop dead gorgeous. Probably one of the most attractive girls there. And she's definitely fun and easy and playful, but I don't know too many 24-year-olds who are instantly ready to settle down and suddenly have an infant family just like that. It'd be kind of funny. I always get a crack out of the really young people on the show who are tired of the bar scene, and they're 23 or 24, and they say they're ready to settle down. It's kind of a strange contradiction.
Now, what is a science educator? Is this a fancy word for teacher, or does she freelance as a science educator, just teaching random people about the ways of the world?
Well, I don't know. She could be a docent at a museum and give tours. There's a lot of different things she could do. There's actually a couple of other, I know at least one other actual classroom teacher that's on the cast, and she introduces herself as a first grade teacher. So I don't know if, for all I know, Chelsea could be a specific, she could literally be a science teacher at a high school or a junior high, or she could be a security guard at the Smithsonian. I don't really know. So either way, it's, there's so many weird listings for jobs here. We have a massage therapist. There's someone who's a mineral coordinator.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if they like take fancy rocks and then put them in a particular order, or if
like
she's
Hank
a geologist
on Breaking Bad. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Andy, who you have dubbed her the Terminator, or she dubbed herself the Terminator.
No, I called her the Terminator. She doesn't call herself. She's an assistant district attorney in Atlanta, Georgia. She's very smart, really takes the job incredibly seriously, very ambitious, and is a go-getter. She's one of those people who you could get the feeling that when she knows what she wants, she goes out and gets it. So she's pretty aggressive. And some guys, you know, like women who are aggressive, and some don't. We don't know what kind of woman really that Juan Pablo is into. I don't think he seemed that into Desi when he was on her seat, and she's pretty enough, but maybe, you know, she's not competitive enough, and maybe the soccer player he likes it. So it's tough to tell, but she could either go pretty far because she's, you know, trying to get what she wants and being aggressive about it, or she could be a turnoff because she has a little bit of an edge to her, but she actually could go a really long way depending if she shows a softer side to herself.
Okay. What about Amy J, the always popular massage therapist.
I hope Amy J sticks around for a while. She's pretty entertaining. She's a goofball, just a total goofball. She's a, as you mentioned, a massage therapist. She has a real zen vibe to her, but she's really energetic. Not hyper, but, you know, she's energetic. Her eyes are always pretty wide open, and she's more or less up for anything. But during the premiere, she came across as really sexually repressed. She really wants to give massages to pretty much anybody. She said that her boyfriends, her previous boyfriends, don't like to get massages. And she says literally in the show, and I'm quoting her, "I want a man who wants to be rubbed by me."
Yeah. Well, that doesn't sound sexually repressed. That sounds like she's sexually very open.
Well, yeah, but it seems odd to me. If you had, you know, if Nicole was a massage therapist, wouldn't you insist on
she's
her
not.
Giving you a massage pretty much every single day?
Yes. Yes. There was an episode of Seinfeld like that where Jerry dated the massage therapist and she was giving everybody else a massage.
Yeah, well, she can't seem to get any of her boyfriends to, you know, they don't want massages from her. That to me is really a bad sign, is when people you date, they're just like, "No, keep your hands off me. I'm cool. I'm good." And she's an attractive girl. So I don't know. She even gives Juan Pablo a massage during the show.
Yes.
It's slightly uncomfortable. And even he says it after the fact. So I don't know how long she's going to be around.
The massage was uncomfortable, or the moment was uncomfortable?
The moment was uncomfortable. He had his suit on. He kind of had to take it off. And he actually was uncomfortable at a particular time during the massage. I think she was kind of hurting him. Oh. And she seemed really into it. Like she was enjoying it in a almost sexual way.
There you go.
So it was weird. It was a little weird.
All right. Tell me about Lauren, the mineral coordinator, the previously aforementioned mineral coordinator, Lauren.
Yes. Lauren wins the Jesse Pinkman Visine Award for the most tears shed during a premiere episode that I've ever seen.
Ooh.
Usually women on the show, they'll lose it at some point, but it's not the first episode typically. It's usually further when they felt they'd had a relationship or it's not working out. Lauren, who looks like, I can't put my finger on it, but she looks like a previous person on this show. I wish I could remember who it was, but she is emotionally unavailable, completely emotionally unavailable. She doesn't even know that she is. She's just broken up or been dumped, I should say, by her fiance, who was a single father. She'd grown attached to the child and the guy, but she got dumped like a month or two before they were supposed to get married. So she's on the show a few months later, and she is not ready to be here. And she's not taking any of this well when she sees how aggressive some of the other women are.
Yeah.
And she loses it pretty much really, really quickly.
By the way, Lauren is the leader in the clubhouse here. According to her profile, 3 tattoos. Did you get a sense of what any of those could be? The periodic table of elements, perhaps?
Possibly a geological chart on her leg that I might have missed, but she was wearing something that was kind of long. It might have been on her leg, but her arms looked fine as from what I could remember. But no, I didn't. I did not notice any of Lauren's tattoos.
We'll see if anybody can top 3 tattoos there. Okay, so let's talk about Valerie, who you dub the villain of the season. What's so bad about Valerie?
She's really aggressive, and at a point where she mentions violence, she says during the premiere, "Not only am I a pretty girl," so she's kind of arrogant, "but I'm not afraid to file these things down." She's referring to her fingernails to scratch some eyeballs. And then she proceeds to shoots an arrow into a target with a heart through it. She looks at some goats. She's on a farm. She's from some small town in California. And she sees some goats, and she says, "I bet some of the other girls look like this." So she's got the serious competitive edge to her, more of a harsh competitive edge than Andy, the Terminator. So I see her as possibly being this season's villain. But which kind of villain she is, we're not truly sure yet. She could go like Tierra, who was confrontational, and didn't get along with anybody. You know, the type that the Bachelor's like, well, she's great with me. Why do all these other girls hate her? Or she could be sneaky and sly like Michelle Money is, and get along with everybody, but be still a little bit on the deceitful side. I don't really know which way we're going to go, but I think she makes for good TV.
By the way, three tattoos as well for Valerie. So we are tied. We could have a tattoo off to decide who is the tattoo master of The Bachelor 18.
It's probably, let's see, there is a girl named Lucy. She's actually not on my list, but she listed her job as free spirit.
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was her.
No, only she's two kind of tattoos for Lucy the free spirit.
How many?
Two.
Two? Oh, she's, maybe they're really large. So.
Yeah. They asked her, what's the most outrageous thing you've ever done? She said, once I organized a 50-person fully nude dance party on a beach in Mexico. My invitation must have been lost in the mail.
I was in another country at that time. I couldn't
was it
make
the
it.
United States?
Yeah, I was in Canada.
Okay, so let's go to Claire, who you describe as the socially awkward one. That's not her profession, is it?
No, she's a hairstylist. She's also from California. She's from Sacramento. She should make for some great TV too, but she's a little socially inept. They show a little preview of her as well in the premiere. And she said, there was something wrong with my dad's brain. And we're looking at her. I'm looking at her thinking, why is she saying that? My dad, he had brain cancer. She just has a weird way of wording sentences that don't make sense. This is a little bit of a spoiler, I suppose. She shows up out of the limo with a fake baby bump.
Oh, yes. And why? Why would anybody come with a fake baby bump to The Bachelor?
I don't know. She doesn't really justify it particularly well. I just know that if I was The Bachelor and I had someone come out, that would definitely get my attention, but not in a good way. It would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah. Maybe you'd be like, oh, like she's cute. Too bad that she's pregnant. Or I guess that maybe you say, oh, okay, well, that she's glowing. Look at her. And then it's like, psych. Just kidding. It's like, oh, okay. She's not pregnant. I don't know.
She does tell him that it's fake. She does tell him, you know, pretty quickly that it's fake, but it's a weird kind of joke. I don't know if he's, I don't know where she, you know, where do you go with that? Are you saying, hey, I want to have your baby? And, or are you saying, hey, I know you know what a pregnant woman looks like because you have a kid. I don't really know where she's going with it at all.
Maybe it's like, hey, you can't get me pregnant because I'm already pregnant. So, but then psych, just kidding. I don't know.
It was confusing.
Claire also has a unique spelling to her name, C-L-A-R-E.
Yes.
Is it pronounced Claire?
Yeah.
Is it like Clary?
It's different.
Yeah. Okay. Only two tattoos for Claire also.
They all must be small. I'm not noticing them.
Oh, I'm feeling so inadequate. I have no tattoos. Well, everybody on The Bachelor, all has a bunch of tattoos. Here's Charlene, but she's Canadian. She also has no tattoos like me. So they allow Canadians on The Bachelor?
Evidently. I guess so. I was surprised by this as well, but I guess we're friendly with Canada. They can come on down.
Okay, sure. All right, but they don't allow Canadians on any of the CBS shows, so ABC must have a more open policy.
Huh, I didn't know that. No, it's America's hat. Why not?
Sure. Tell us about Charlene, who you dub as an underdog here. Why, because she's Canadian?
No, not at all. I guess she's the underdog because she doesn't really even seem like she wants to be there, but Juan Pablo has quite a bit of interest in her. She's different than the other girls. She's actually kind of a little straight-laced and a little stiff, especially when she gets out of the limousine and talks to Juan Pablo. I'm just thinking, okay, here's a girl who's going to get the boot pretty quick. But he kind of is fascinated by her. He really likes, he comments on her dress numerous times, and he finds her really attractive. Part of that, I think, is because of her profession. She's an opera singer, which is definitely different. She spends a lot of time in Europe. In fact, she'd flown to Germany, to be on the show. And I think he likes that, you know, a little more worldly person or someone who has some experience outside of the country. She's not particularly charismatic, so I really have no clue what he sees in her. In fact, she just seems disinterested, and maybe that's the thing, is she doesn't seem to, like, really want to be there. She seems kind of, you know, figuring, well, I just came to experience this and tell, you know, some good stories to my friends. But he ends up really being attracted to her. So maybe it's the I'm not really into you vibe. I'm going to pretend like I'm going to act like I'm not interested. You know, I mean, you know how guys are. We want what we can't have. So maybe that's why he finds her really attractive. Or I don't really get it.
All right. So give me your pick here, Terry. Who is your number one contender?
Okay, I'd have to put my number one contender would probably be Andy. I think she's smart. Yeah, the Terminator, the assistant district attorney from Atlanta, she'd be my number one pick to go to make it to the end and get the final rose.
Out of everybody we talked about, her profile on ABC.com had the most Facebook likes. She had 10 at the time of recording. So a good sign for Andy the Terminator.
Yeah, I think she has a a pretty good shot. Who knows what, but based on him, Juan Pablo being into Charlene, who knows what Juan Pablo's type is?
Yeah, who knows? All right, so I spoke with some of the staffers at Rob as a Podcast. We actually have a couple of big Bachelor and Bachelorette fans in our Facebook group. And so I had pulled some of the people who helped me behind the scenes with research for the podcast about some of their questions for The Bachelor Season 18. So let me give you a couple of just quick questions from the RHAP team. Okay, let me start off with Amy H., who wants to know, how many references will we get on the premiere to the fact that this is the first Latino Bachelor, his Venezuelan heritage, etc., and how much of this do you think is a response to the lack of diversity lawsuit from a while back? So do you feel like that this is, we're getting a, hey, this is a not just another white guy on The Bachelor?
No, I don't really think we'll get that vibe at all. I mean, there are some mentions. He calls himself El Bachelor a couple of times, but that's only within the first 15 minutes of the show. There's no Latin flavor to this season. I don't think he was picked because he's a minority. I think he was picked because he was incredibly popular for some weird reason. The accent, the soccer player thing, the single dad thing. I think all those things make him a good candidate, but I don't think ABC really gives a crap whether they have a white guy or a Hispanic person. I just think they want, you know, somebody who would draw in viewers. And, you know, the primary audience for this is, you know, white females. So I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Well, I have been a longtime proponent of I want a Blackchiller, and I will not rest until there is a Blackchiller. And I think it would be great. I think it would be a very exciting season. I think it would be a lot of fun to watch. And I will say, if they get me a Blackchiller, I will podcast about the Blackchiller. How about that?
Well, yeah. I wouldn't mind either. Or just, you know, any kind of. I've always would like to see if they'd skew older. And, you know, but I am older. I'm 42. So I wouldn't mind seeing a bachelor who wasn't 30 all the time, or, you know, someone who is a little older and had some more life experience. But, you know, like, what would you call that? The middle-aged bachelor?
No, we need a Blackchiller before we have the old bachelor. I don't know what we would call that. But we need a Blackchiller. I think it would be a good tie-in. We can get a lot of the Scandal crowd to come over, and I think it would be a lot of fun. We would have I think then we would have a lot more African-American contestants vying for the Black Chiller. I think that then it would be interesting to see if there would be if the house of all of the half white women, half African-American women, if there would be any sort of tension in the house over who was going to get with the Black Chiller. I would be very excited for Black Chiller.
I would be too, actually, now that you mention it. You could have a whole mix of different, you know, with The Bachelor, we pretty much have, you know, of the 27 women, a majority of them are white. And there's a couple of token minorities in there. And with the, you know, yeah, with The Bachelor, we could have a more diverse mix
more
of
diverse, more diverse cast. I think this would be a very exciting season. I think it's about time, maybe for season 20. Maybe ABC is waiting.
Let me email my ABC contact, see what I can do.
Yeah. Let's see. How about Amy has another question. She wants to know, one of the contestants' professions, as we mentioned, is dog lover. Another is listed as free spirit. How can I get a job as one of these? And what is the expected salary / typical career path? Which is more prestigious, dog lover or free spirit, do you think?
Judging from what I saw of the free spirit, she looks like she's unemployed. So she just kind of moves around. I don't know where she sleeps. She lives a gypsy lifestyle. Dog lover, I would say you probably have a better chance. The dog lover, her name is Kelly. She actually brings her dog to the show.
She'd be the first one gone for me.
The dog comes out of the limo with her. I don't know if the dog is going to be staying in the house or not. That might add a little tension or drama if the dog ends up peeing on someone's, suitcase or bed or something like that, or chews someone's shoes. But I think dog lover would have a little more potential for income, as, you know, you could be a dog trainer, dog walker, dog whisperer.
She's the first one gone. They ask her, how long does it take to get ready for a big night? An hour and a half. She's bringing her dog to The Bachelor. She is identifying herself. Her occupation is dog lover. These are a number of red flags. And I have a dog. I'm a dog liker. And if you're bringing your dog to The Bachelor, then you're first one out, because God knows, you know, that dog is going everywhere with you. And it's too much. Sorry, Kelly.
I keep the dog lover over the free spirit, because free spirit shows up with no shoes on. That's gross.
That's a deal breaker.
That's a deal breaker for me.
I'd keep the free spirit with no shoes on, because she's having a naked party in Mexico. I'm more interested in going to the naked party than being around the dog 24/7.
Okay, I see your point.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep her. She's getting a rose on the first date. a couple of other questions from the RHAP staff. Haley Strong wants to know, how long does it take for you to tell the blondes apart? How many episodes will it take to tell all the blondes apart?
Ooh, that's a really good question. There are so many. It all depends on how much camera time they have. And that's why I end up giving them nicknames like Terminator or the MILF, like Renee is. Sometimes I just can't tell them apart because there's so many and their names are so similar. You know, Ashley or Amy, and there's like two different Amys and Allie. And, you know, it's hard to tell them apart. So I'd say if they get a lot of camera time, I'd say three episodes probably.
Yeah. I think the brunettes are tough also.
They are. Actually, all of them are tough because they all have similar builds. They're all attractive and thin. Their hair is all the same length. Nobody has short hair. So it's almost they're just a collage of very attractive women.
And speaking of our 27 women, am I right that we have one person of color in out of 27 potential women for Juan Pablo?
No, we have two. We have Chantel, we have Danielle, and I think Charlene, is something, but I can't really tell what her ethnicity is. She's not all, I don't know. She's a mix of something.
Who is this? Charlene?
Charlene, yeah.
Is this with an S?
It's with an S, yes.
Okay, let's scroll down here. Yeah, Charlene, okay. Oh, well, she's Canadian. Does that count?
As an ethnicity, I don't think so. I don't know. She just looks like a mix. And there's a couple. Maybe Valerie could be Hispanic. I'm guessing. Maybe.
I mean, do you think they poll the Juan Pablo and they ask him so, like what are you into? Like if does he tell like really like very? Let's you know cut it down. I don't really want to see that many people of color. Or is that just ABC says, despite no matter what Juan Pablo was into, they said, no, you're going to get, we got two people of different races for you.
That's actually a very good question. That's something I asked the casting director when I met her. And basically what she said is they listen to, you know, his bachelor's, what he's attracted to. But they also take into consideration that since he's a bachelor, what he's attracted to really hasn't been working for him either. So maybe he needs a different type of person who would still fit within his, you know, area of attraction. I mean, there's going to be some things that are deal breakers in certain ages that are too high or too low, probably. But they take it into consideration, but they also, you know, keep in mind that they haven't had success, which is why they're on the show. So maybe that there's something, you know, someone didn't know that they were attracted to. And they put them on the show anyway, because you never know what's going to click with people.
I'm looking at Chantel's profile real quick here. So she's 27. She is of the, one of the people of color on this out of the 27 women. So she is, some interesting things about her. She's an account manager, from Florida. Oh, that's a good connection for Juan. He's from Miami, right?
He lives in Miami.
Okay, so she's from Miami, so that's good. She is adventurous. Top three all-time movies, though. Okay, John Q, all right? The Notebook, and Home Alone 2. Not the original Home Alone. Home Alone 2, Chantel's favorite, top three favorite movies.
Yeah, a lot of women mentioned The Notebook, which is, I guess, shouldn't be too surprising. But
yeah.
Home Alone, maybe she likes New York. The setting in New York feels her.
Yeah, the original Home Alone, Home Alone 2. Yeah, that's top three all-time favorite movies. No Rose. I'm sorry, Chantel. Sorry.
Oh, Chantel's out too. Okay, you've eliminated two women already.
I would spend the entire date with her. Really? That's top three out of all the movies all time. Home Alone 2. That's in the top three.
And you just tell her, you'd be sitting there talking to her and say, you need to gather your things. It's time for you to go.
It's time for you to go. I'm sorry. This isn't working out.
Chris Harrison, come get this woman. Get her out of my sight.
Get her out of here. All right. So, and why is it a two-night premiere? Why have we done that?
That's a good question. I haven't really been able to figure that out yet. I really don't know. Maybe we'll get a longer or deeper profile on some of the women. I don't really know if they're breaking up. Usually the show is about 2 hours long. Maybe they're doing one hour on Sunday,
Juan
an hour
and
on Monday. So I really don't know.
One hour Sunday and 1 hour on Monday night?
Yes. 1 hour and 1 hour. Maybe. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, let's see. So the premiere is... okay, so... It is starting on Sunday, but then premieres on Monday, January 6th. This is very confusing. Okay, two-night premiere on Sunday, January 5th. Let's get this straight before we come back and tell people when to look at it. So let me see if I could find real quick on the site. Otherwise, I'll just say it in the wrap-up. Okay, I will tell you exactly how to watch The Bachelorette in the wrap-up. Okay, so, Terry, and of course, now you are going to blog all season long about what is going to go on with these 27 women vying for Juan Pablo's love.
Absolutely. I'll be there every step of the way. The early stuff is usually pretty chaotic because there's so many people trying to vie for whoever the Bachelor's attention is. So it should be pretty good, and we'll... You know, this show has its rhythm, which is one of the things that people are attracted to. There's the potential of all the women at the beginning of the show. There's the gradual weeding out process that happens throughout the season. people begin to become attached to certain quote-unquote characters or bachelorettes on the show, and they're rooting for them. And then it gets serious and depressing down at the end until it ends at a climax of true love, hopefully. And everybody has a happy ending. So we'll see how it goes. That's the traditional Bachelor formula, and this is they got this down to a science. So we can expect another good season.
Okay, and so just playing around on ABC.com, so it is going to be 1 hour on Sunday night and then 2 hours on Monday night, both from 8 to 9 on Sunday and then from 8 to 10:01 on Monday night. So make sure you are set up if you want to check in with Juan and his exploits all season long. Okay?
Sounds good. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, Terry, thank you so much for everything, keeping us posted on Juan Pablo and all of his women.
Anytime, Rob. I'll be writing weekly and weighing in and looking forward to some feedback from your listeners.
All right. And follow at Terry Taronis on Twitter. And, of course, comment all season long. Terry's really good about responding to people in the comment section as well. All right.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right. Take care, Terry.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. That's Terry Taronis, our Bachelor Chief Correspondent, covering the Bachelor beat for us all season long. Okay. So, God, I wanted to get out of the gate with a podcast here on Thursday for the second of the year, but I am going to have one more podcast for you guys, and this is going to be a good one. I've done this the last every 6 months or so, going back to last year, and this is the 25 questions from you guys. So I want to hear from you guys. I'm going to post this on Facebook on Thursday, but if you want to get your questions in on voicemail as well, it's 323-282-RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. 25 listener questions about anything you guys want to talk about. Survivor, want to ask me a personal question, whatever it is, 25 questions. That podcast is going to be up for you guys on Friday morning. So get those questions in on Thursday if you're listening to it there. And I'm going to post it on Facebook. I've already got a thread up on our Rob Has a Podcast subreddit, which is at reddit.com/r/RHAP. So you can go ahead and check that out. So lots of stuff. Very excited about the new year. Podcast awards are coming up this weekend in Vegas. Lots of fun stuff on the horizon. Can't wait to get really going. Miss Survivor, Mr. Survivor this month in January. So much to get to. Very happy to have you guys locked in 2014. And we'll talk to you again soon and often. Take care. Bye.